Gorgeous food and drink on Radio Gorgeous.
I'm here with Fabienne Weiner Luzzatto.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. You come from Paris,
exactly.
Via Tunisia, and you run a cooking school in your home, as well as just come up with a new cookbook for children.
Exactly, yeah.
Tell me about cooking with Fabienne. What are your specialties?
What is cooking with Fabienne? Home Cooking by Fabienne was born about 9 years ago now. And a friend of mine, a British friend of mine, asked me to cater a dinner party for 8 people in her house. And she wanted to pay me. And I was a bit, no. I did it. And someone from the dinner party called me to organize another dinner party. So the first friend said to me, you need to stop working in HR and there is a market here to cook for people who either don't want to cook the whole meal themselves or really want a little extra help. Sometimes they want to cheat, so they want a homemade meal served in their plates and served in their dish, so they drop the dish to me. And I'm like a doctor, I don't say anything to anyone, don't give any names.
Complete discretion.
Exactly. I cook a lot of what people love, is probably the North African Jewish Sephardi style of my cooking. So my parents were born in Tunisia, both of them. And I'm the youngest of 7 children, so the house was a kitchen house.
it was catering.
Exactly.
On a large scale every day.
Exactly. Exactly. And it was lovely. It was always full of cousins around and friends, and really cooking for us was very natural. It's not that we had to learn. We were learning every day with my mother, my grandmother. And it was part of our life.
Because with that many people, you have to help prepare.
Definitely.
And with 7 kids, you're not going out to eat.
No. Yeah. So you have to cook. And today it's funny because I go to school and pick up my children. And I've always got like homemade biscuits or cakes. And people say to me, you always bake? And I said, yes, I always bake, actually. I bake it almost every day.
Wow. And so what are you going to... I see, I'm looking at your kitchen now, and you have vegetables prepared, obviously, for something.
Yes.
For later.
Yes.
And I also see there is like, it seems like a whole gingerbread village has gone on.
Exactly. There is a gingerbread house ready to go to school later.
Right.
I had a course with 12 children on Sunday. It was make your own gingerbread house.
Wonderful.
So, they came with their parents and they all left with a gingerbread house.
Oh.
So it was like, it's one of my favorite workshops to do.
Yeah. And I think like, you know, for American Thanksgiving, gingerbread houses are sort of multicultural. They're irreligious. They're not, you know, they're not, but it's just something super festive, fun,
oh,
and
definitely.
And delicious.
Definitely.
You talked about the catering arm of Home Cooking with Fabienne. And I like that it's home cooking because that really does seem to be your emphasis. And that's also, you know, so you're creating, even as a caterer, you're creating the myth of home cooking in someone else's home.
Yeah.
But it's that style of sharing food, of not formal, but good food in a warm environment.
That's my style. That's the style I have and that I sell. But I like giving recipes and proposing menus that people can find the ingredients everywhere. I like when it's not perfect. I like when people can say, I made it. Like on Friday, I had a lady picking up 2 lemon meringue tarts. She dropped 2 dishes, pie dishes before And she asked me how to make it. Like that.
If
any of her guests was asking, she could tell the truth. So.
Yes, exactly. Oh, I was grating those lemons. I was zesting away for hours.
So that's what I like. I like giving like food that people can prepare themselves. And when I teach cooking, and I had last night a lovely girl, like we worked with chicken and we made about 5 different recipes. And she was quite comfortable and she couldn't believe her eyes. She said to me, "Oh, well, that's not so complicated." And I think it's what I like to do. I like giving confidence to people.
Yes. That is sometimes especially if you have, a mother who, or a parent, or anyone whoever's in charge of the kitchen, you know, doesn't let you in. Because my mother, even though she was a horrid cook, and when I say horrid, I mean horrid. I mean, her own brother described her cooking as like, "I don't know what's worse, how it looks or how it tastes." But it was important. I know. Bless the poor thing. She did like food. But she, there was some sort of ownership over the kitchen, and it was threatening in some way for us to come in. And all three of us have turned into interested, at least, cooks to varying degrees. But we're all very interested in cooking and food and whatever.
Yeah, exactly. But, exactly. Yeah. It's not easy to share your domain. It's not easy to share your kitchen. But I have to say, unfortunately, I have a lot more patience with students than with my own
family.
But like my students, I let them put chocolate everywhere and they can put crumbs everywhere. And with my own children, I'm like, "Be careful, don't."
RadioGorgeous.com.
So tell me about you. You just said, one young woman coming in. You also, I think, have a little bit of a specialty in teaching newly divorced dads to cook.
Yes, I unfortunately, I think I'm seeing a lot of divorced parents. I've started to see a lot of dads who really don't want, they have young kids, and they don't want to have takeaway every evening if they have them on the weekend or in midweek. And I've seen a few dads who have taken like a few lessons, like more than one, and one in particular has like, and he just loves it. He just loves it. And he said to me, "You know, I could pay for someone to come and cook for them, but I just want to give them the love of eating is very important for them, and eating healthily is important for them, and I just want to be able to offer that to them." And I find it a bit like absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, and what a wonderful way to, you know, to be nurturing to your children.
Yeah.
And you, it strikes me, you're the perfect teacher for that, because you also teach children. So this is also something that they can do with their kids.
Exactly.
Something they can share in a time when it's probably a little crazy in their lives.
I love like when people leave and say, "Oh wow, I managed to do it, and I can do it alone. I can't believe that." And that's what I really love.
Yeah, and wonderful.
Yeah.
So tell me about your cookbook.
My cookbook, so it's called Steamer, the Cooking Wizard. it's a bit me disguised. I think the inspiration comes from all the children and the parents I've been seeing in the last like 6 years when I started teaching, and all them. Probably all the parents who came and tell me, "Oh, my child doesn't eat anything but like fish fingers out of a packet cooked for 12 minutes. If it's cooked for 13, I have to put them in a bin." It's very easy in our busy lives to buy things that are already prepared. And especially if you have a child who refuses to eat something that is homemade, you just look for the facility.
Wow. So and who did you write your cookbook with?
I wrote my cookbook with a friend called Jo Leslie Briggs. I've known her since I moved here. And I said to her, I've got this book in my head. It's like short stories. Why short stories? Because as a mum of three children, I was a massive reader before, prior in my other life. Mm. But unfortunately, I've got no time to read now. So I prefer short stories. Because I can remember, I can remember them. I don't have to like go back to the first page every evening. It sounds terrible.
Yeah, and it still takes a while to work through them anyway.
Exactly. And so I want to write not a cookbook, but short stories with recipes at the end about what I learned with the children I met and with the parents I met as well, because I do a lot of cooking lessons with parents on like giving new ideas for weekly menus that everybody will eat. You know, you meet parents, they do five different meals every night. What?
Or else they're just given the fish fingers because they can't, exactly. You know, you don't have time to think of something else. Yeah.
Exactly. So I said like a short stories teaching children and parents. It's like just like teaching them a bit about what's an additive, what's MSG, why you can't like use it too much, and or why sugar is okay to eat but can be very dangerous if you overeat it. I needed someone to push me because she's not in foods in the food business. What she was writing was nice, lovely stories. But I said, okay, go back to the food point of view of the story. We need to say that. We need to write that. And then it's very strange how all the ideas came naturally, like, across very quickly. So it's a cooking wizard. I wanted it to be a bit magical because I think children need a bit of magic to be interested. Steamer enters children's dreams to tell them why they have to change their eating habits. Listen, we don't say with Joe we're going to change the planet and we're going to change the world and be like the Wonder Woman, Superwoman who are going to like change everything. But it's explaining why they have to be careful. Mm-hmm. And trying to teach them why they have to be careful.
At least start questioning what they are eating.
Exactly.
And being mindful of it and conscious of it.
Listen to us online, on your phone, download a podcast, or on your tablet. Radio Gorgeous, there for you.
And I'm quite proud of it. I hope it will work. We are self-publishing, so we're going to rely on our network and schools as well. We want to go and try to start talking, have some talks in schools and like targeted place with children or health visitors maybe, and we hope it will work, and we have some like a few launch parties planned in our immediate circle from January. It will be out in January for like good year resolutions of people.
Exactly. New year.
Yeah.
New cooking you.
Yeah, new
eating
you.
Family.
Exactly. Right. We hope. And no, really hope. We want to give it a go. And if it works, maybe it will be like a series of Steamer the Cooking Wizard. Maybe. maybe. And we will give it a go and see if it
Fantastic.
Works.
Fantastic. Wonderful. And let's, if we can, just to finish up, talk a bit about your background, because you and I are both Jewish.
Yeah.
And you live in quite a Jewish area mm-hmm. of London. And I mean, France is notoriously or quite known for being anti-Semitic. And it's not really quite anti-Semitic here, I don't find. But I remember I was working for a company up in Crépin, which is a teeny tiny town about an hour outside of Lille.
Mm-hmm.
But I was doing translations for the Eurostar. But the big boss was a Tunisian Jew.
Okay.
And so I was imported to spend the night with his daughter, you know, and it was, you know, because there was another Jew. And it was so singular. And this is in the north of France. And it was just, you know, there was one. And it was quite palpable. I imagine it was different in Paris, one, and two, because you were in a larger community.
So listen, I worked for many years in France, in those big companies where it's not that you hide and you don't say, but you don't shout it out. When I go to France, now when I go to Paris, I arrive in Gare du Nord, I find it dirty, grim, not secure. I feel completely insecure. Mm. I take my three kids with me, hold my hands, stay next to me, come out of the Eurostar, go in the taxi. And of course, it's not written on my front head that I'm Jewish. But I didn't. I felt completely insecure. So I felt terrible. And my mother was annoyed with me. Come on, you were raised here. And I said, I'm sorry. I'm scared. Really, you don't feel comfortable. You don't. Mm. There is like a discomfort. There is a...
Yeah, there's a frisson where there never was before.
Definitely. Mm. I feel sad. I feel sad. I feel sad to see what France has become.
Mm.
I feel sad to have this feeling towards my country. And I don't know, I feel after 13 years spent here, I don't know if I don't feel completely French anymore. I don't feel British.
You're always betwixt in between.
Where am I? The longer you
leave, it's sort of like, well, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a real shame.
Do you think it's because of... sort of foundering economics? I mean, is it... Because I always find, you know, sort of hatred and pointing fingers comes when people are hungry and scared. Although anti-Semitism is something that just comes around like a perennial penny, you know. I mean, yeah, it's been allowed to... It's sort of been allowed to breathe.
Yeah,
it hasn't been remarked upon. It has sort of been... ignored while it's
freedom of expression is everything in France. You know, let them express themselves. I'm a pro, civic rights and...
But enough already.
No, but controlled.
Yeah.
I think it became a country where you can hate, and you can steal what other people have because you can't afford to buy it yourself. So let's steal it. Nobody's doing anything about it. And it makes me feel sad. What I love about England is that you want to achieve something, you can. Everybody's giving you the right or the possibility to do something and to achieve something. Or a woman who hasn't worked for 15 years, she's not considered as like a complete out of the world person who disappeared from the world for 15 years. How can she come back to a company? In France, you don't work for 5 years. You are crossed from the market.
Wow.
It's like that. It's this mentality in France. You're considered like very quickly, you're considered like, do you say obsolete or?
Obsolete,
And here, like a woman who's not worked for 15 years, but who show what she has done, we give her a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And and I'm amazed about that. I love that. Whoever has an idea and wants to do a project, to do it. If it can work, good for you.
It's sort of that spirit with which you came to... start your business.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
Because believed that you could. And
It's coming from nothing. Now I write for a newspaper and people ask me 3 months or more in advance to come to Scotland to do a talk or to, and it's nice. It's lovely and I love my job. What do you say?
Fantastic. Fabienne, thank you so much for being on Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you.
This is a Radio Gorgeous production for RadioGorgeous.com. Beautifully edited by Ella Gray Thomas, 2015.